Welcome to episode number 9 of the Marketing Development Podcast. My name's Pete Everett and I'm your host. And today we are speaking to the wonderful Claire Yosa, author, speaker and mentor to entrepreneurs and solopreneurs, both in the UK and throughout the world. Claire speaks about her book and her upcoming workshops and really gives some excellent advice to people that want to get under their client's skin, asking those poignant questions. Claire's also part of our Facebook group, which you can access at peteeverett.com/group, or just search Facebook for the Marketing Development Podcast. Enjoy the show. Welcome to episode number 9 of the Marketing Development Podcast, and you are joining a conversation with me, Pete, and Claire Yosa. Hi, Claire.
Hi, Pete. It's lovely to join you today.
It's great to have you with us. Thanks for agreeing to come on to the podcast. I should explain that Claire and I met through the Upreneur community, through our mutual friend, Chris Ducker. And Claire is an author and podcaster and, life coach, I suppose, in many ways. So, Claire, do you want to just give us a quick intro to yourself?
Yeah, I'm a mentor to passionate world changers. So I love working with people who wake up at 3 a.m. with that kind of feeling of, I haven't made the difference I'm here to make yet. But those secret 3 a.m. doubts are getting in the way. You know, the kind of fears that we don't even tell our best friends about, let alone our business partners. Mm-hmm. So we actually get to go way beyond life coaching. We get to dive in under the surface to those root causes, clear out the triggers so that they don't have to feel the fear and do it anyway. They can really make the difference they're here to make and that they can love the journey.
That's great. That's far better than anything I could have said. So I'm so pleased I passed that over to you. Claire and I have had a couple of conversations, and you're the author of Dare to Dream Bigger, aren't you?
I am indeed.
So when did you publish that book?
That was 18 months ago, and it was a book that was born out of an online summit I ran a couple of years ago called Dare to Dream Bigger. And there were 15 of us got together and shared some of the inside work and practical business strategy. And we're actually going to be running it again this coming September in 2018, if you're not listening to this when it first comes out. And from that, it hit me hard how inspired people were by the idea of daring to dream bigger. Yeah, it was this daring. And so to create the book, I brought together the key strategies I've used in the last 15 years of mentoring business leaders, entrepreneurs, passionate world changers. And as an NLP trainer, I'm a specialist in designing training to make it easy to learn. So you can create shifts just by reading things sometimes. And I turned it into a book you can read on the sofa in your PJs with a cup of tea and change the world.
Well, you know, I may as well be there right now. sounds brilliant, being in your PJs with a cup of tea. What can be better? So I didn't realise, I must admit, I didn't realise that you were rerunning it in September. Mm. So do you want to just explain a little bit about that journey and the event that's coming up?
Absolutely. Well, I have this big thing that when you want to make a difference in the world, it's not so much about what you do. It's about who you allow yourself to become. Yeah. Mm. So all the strategy in the world is still going to be hard work and probably quite glitchy if you haven't cleared out your hidden blocks. So, you know, I hear people all the time when you look at it from a marketing perspective of, I know I ought to email my subscribers, but I don't want to bother them. What if they don't want me in their inbox? Yeah. This kind of imposter syndrome. Who am I to send out a newsletter? Who am I to publish such and such? Who am I to pitch the BBC for an opinion piece interview? Until you clear that out, all the best business strategy in the world is not going to work. So what I love to do with Dare to Dream Bigger is bring together people who I can see have got through those blocks. And they share the bits of their journey that can help us, where we can listen to what they're saying or watch them and go, yeah, that's me. Oh, and that's how he got through it. I could do that, yeah? So it's very much not about just the business strategy. It's looking at what was underneath that meant the business strategy worked.
You've got to really unpack some deep kind of themes and topics when it comes down to that. I'm guessing it's one of those things that everybody is completely different when it comes to that kind of level.
Exactly. This is why when you bring a group of people together to talk about their the difference they're making in the world from that perspective. And when you interview them and you can unpack that stuff, you get so many different perspectives that there will be something in there that resonates for everyone.
Yes, absolutely. And I know from the things I've been doing some homework on you, Claire. Hopefully it hasn't seemed like stalking, but you know, I did fall out of the tree twice.
Yeah, my pajamas are Scottish tartan.
This podcast taking a turn I didn't expect. I've forgotten where I was going. You've thrown me with
You've
that.
You've been doing some research, haven't
you? I know it's to do with the tools of unpacking those kind of things. Mm-hmm. And as somebody that doesn't wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and is more of a kind of 6 to 6:30 kind of time, I know, but having been through so myself, I've set up two businesses in the past, and I know exactly what you mean about that imposter syndrome. And it's that thing that comes around, and it can happen at the spur of a moment. All of a sudden, you just don't feel, you don't feel like you have the authority. You don't feel like you have the right. You don't feel like, or you sort of feel like who the heck would bother listening to me? I'm just Pete from Sheffield. You know, what difference am I going to make? So I'm guessing it's to do with the tools that you have in place, A, to stop those triggers from happening. But do you start by stopping the triggers, or do you start with dealing with the themes?
I start by looking at the self-talk, okay? Mm-hmm. Because if you think about how we live our lives, our self-talk, that inner dialogue, whether it's an inner critic or an inner cheerleader, that drives our actions. If we're telling ourselves we can't do something, we're not going to do it. Yeah, if you're telling yourself, who am I to stand on stage at such and such a conference? There's no way you will pitch a talk. Or if you do, the pitch will come across as a, I'm terribly sorry to bother you. Yeah. And you won't get the gig. So I start listening to the self-talk and then, okay, looking at the next layer down, what are the limiting beliefs that are driving that self-talk? Because it's actually hardwired in your brain. What you believe is actually stored in your neurology. And it filters your sensory input from the outside world to spot examples of things that support your beliefs. So if you believe that you're rubbish at presenting, you'll see feedback that says you're rubbish at presenting, and the 3,000 people who said you were great won't count for anything. Mm-hmm. So we just then unpack below that and start looking, well, who are you allowing yourself to be? Okay, have you yet become the person that can achieve this next stretch goal that you've got? Do you believe that you actually are that person, or you can become them? And if secretly you don't, that is when a limiting belief turns into imposter syndrome. When you catch yourself saying, who am I to do this, to say this, to think this? That just means a limiting belief has upgraded itself into imposter syndrome.
That, and you know what? That question that I asked you, which granted wasn't the most structured question I've ever asked in my life, but I must have said the words, who am I? 3 times in asking that question to you.
You did. And this is really good, actually, because this is very real. So if you're listening to this episode, if you find yourself saying that in your head, who am I to do that? Or what if they catch me out? Or I feel like a fraud. Who am I to be here in the VIP lounge? That is your warning sign that a limiting belief is becoming imposter syndrome. It's still easy to clear. And if we were working one-to-one together, you can unpack it. I'd ask you the question, okay, well, why? What's the because? I can't do that because. Mm. If you start listing answers to that because, yeah, a classic one is I might not have enough time, or I'm too tired, or I'm not qualified, I'm too young, too old, too fat, too thin, too pretty, too ugly. All of these becauses are the excuses, fears, blocks, limiting beliefs. And some of them you can look at them and go, oh, that's just rubbish, and cross it out. Some of them you'll find produce like a tension in your gut. Yeah, your body has a reaction. They are the blocks you can deal with, because they are the ones that are going to hold you back. When you clear those out, it means that you feel that you grow. Yeah. And when you then do go for whatever it is you're going for, you don't have to push on through, and you can use the energy that you would have used to push on through to actually do it, and you'll enjoy it more, and you'll get better results, and you'll inspire more people and make a bigger difference.
And it's often the case. I mean, this podcast is a little bit of a testament to this. It's often the case about actually clearing some of those blocks out the way and just getting on and doing it, isn't it?
Exactly.
And, you know, practice makes perfect. It's, Yeah, it is just get out there, do it. Sometimes done is better than perfect. Sometimes.
Yep.
That's a different discussion for another day. But that's exactly where I was with this podcast. We were planning on launching it sometime around September, and then that got pulled forward to Easter. Mm. And then one day in February, I'd started putting some of the plans in place, and you thought, you know what, I'm just going to do this. Mm. I'm just best laid plans of mice and men. Just get it out there, see what happens. And here we are.
And everybody's still alive.
Absolutely, absolutely.
No natural disasters.
The world hasn't stopped turning.
And you've got listeners who are coming back to your podcast because they know it's useful for their marketing development, yeah?
That's I hope so. No, we do. And actually so we have a Facebook group which Claire is part of, or certainly will be part of. And you know what, it's through that group on Facebook, that private group, where actually you start to get the feedback, and you start to it breaks down the fact that the people that listen to you are real people. And it is actually really humbling to know that there are people that tune into this now week in, week out, and have done so for the past nearly 3 months, and they turn up in a Facebook group and want to talk to me and want to ask my opinion of something, or ask the opinion of others in the group. Mm-hmm. And it's that's where the confirmation and the affirmation and the humility level of it for me comes in.
Absolutely.
This is turning into a self-help session.
Well, we knew it would.
you might have done.
So I want to give a concrete example of where mm-hmm. I've cleared out one of my own blocks recently.
Great.
And how, if you're looking at it from a marketing perspective, for me at the moment, one of my major themes in marketing is actually visibility and mm-hmm. PR. And I'm running a number of campaigns that mean, you know, I'm talking to the press on a regular basis. So I used to be terrified of PR. About 10 years ago, I was interviewed in The Guardian on a website I used to run back then. And it was a very innocuous article, and the trolling was so horrific, I had to actually ask The Guardian to take the comments out, which in those days was really rare. Yeah, wow. The comments, I mean, these people were being paid at work, and the way they were trolling me and the assumptions they were making about me and my life, they hit me hard. They actually scared me. Yeah.
Mm.
So for about the next 8 years, I did no PR whatsoever, and I hid because I was so scared of more trolls. Then 3 years ago, I started to co-lead the EU VAT Action campaign, and we succeeded in December in getting EU law changed. There will now be thresholds for digital VAT, totally separate discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to be in the press every day. And I had to do so much inside work to get over that old fear of being seen. Yeah, so you can imagine if you're doing some marketing in your business, but secretly it's like, please don't anybody actually see this. You can imagine how you might subconsciously self-sabotage to keep yourself safe, yeah?
Mm.
So for me, I really had to do this because it was about the campaign. It was about the tens of thousands of businesses we were going to help keep trading. We had a deal in our campaign group that we didn't read the comments on our own interviews. Somebody else would, which really helped. Then we finished the campaign, and I realized I'd managed to get through those old fears because I was helping other people. It wasn't about me. And going and doing PR for my own business brought all of that up again. So I used my techniques, like that question I gave you, you know, I can't pitch this newspaper because, you know, dealing with those inner blocks. One of my favorite ways, if you need a really quick fix, is actually EFT, tapping. I'm a master practitioner and trainer. So tapping on your body's meridian points.
Right.
My inner engineer doesn't know quite how it works, but I know how it shifts blocks. And being able to do that work to get out of my own way, I pitched the BBC twice yesterday. And
wow.
You know what? I didn't feel any particular excitement or nerves. I just put together a pitch. I knew it was on two different subjects, one on exam stress for children, because that's a topic I'm passionate about and I've just set up a site on,
mm-hmm.
and the other about GDPR and how their coverage is not balanced and it's actually going to damage micro businesses. And the key is, I just sent the pitches out. If I hear from them, great, I'll do the interview. If I don't, I'm not fussed. The old me would have been terrified, nervous, waffling, worried. I'd be sat here not concentrating on you, Pete, because I'd be going, what if the BBC gets back to me? What if they don't? I just did it. There's no attachment, and it's great. If they love it, great, I'll do the interview. If they don't, that's fine. The same with your marketing. When you clear out the inner blocks, it means you really give yourself permission for that marketing, that message to get out there at a bigger level. You'll say yes to joint venture opportunities. You'll say yes to collaboration. Your copy tone will be different. Yet the whole thing changes when you've given yourself permission to be seen.
See, now that's an interesting point, particularly when it comes to working with sort of consultants or solopreneurs and small businesses, because ultimately the business owner becomes the face of the business. You know, we've talked, obviously Chris's community is all about the youpreneur, making the business of you. And the whole personal branding discussion is something that's maybe come up over the past 18 months. The reality of it is that the single business owner, the solo entrepreneur, has been the face of their own business since time immemorial. And one of the biggest blocks I've seen with working with, I do a lot of work with marketing consultants. One of the biggest blocks I've seen for them actually taking the leap from working as part of an organization to being a solo marketing consultant is that mentality about, I need to go out on my own now. This is me. This is my name. And, you know, I notice your website is claireyosa.com. My website is peteeverett.com. And to us, to me now, that just seems like common sense. It seems, why wouldn't it be? But actually, it's those things that can be such big hurdles for people to get over when it actually comes to, right, can I do this on my own?
Definitely is. One of the things that really breaks my heart is when I see somebody who's passionate about what they do and they're hiding on their site. So I'd like to give you an example, actually, from last week.
I'm looking
for an Ayurvedic practitioner to help me on a detox. And I'm looking for somebody local so I don't have to travel into London. I found somebody. Their site is beautiful. It's got some weird name, but then people in that field often do. And it really gave me confidence until I looked at the about page. They don't have their photo. They don't even have their name. That's how much they're hiding behind their brand. And I'm not going to book with them because I want to be able to connect. And I'm happy to reach out to them and help them with some confidence issues and some visibility issues. But they've missed the point completely that people want to connect with people now. Yeah. If you look at the CEO of T-Mobile, I think it is in the States. Yeah. He calls himself the magenta wearing CEO and he invites people to come and connect with him. He's putting human back into that brand. We have to bring that down to the smallest level. And if you're a marketing professional working with solopreneurs, part of your job is actually kind of an impromptu life coach, making sure your clients have dealt with their self-doubts, their visibility fears, because otherwise you could give them the best marketing strategy in the world and they are not going to implement it properly and it won't get the results worthy of the consultancy you've done.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. And, you know, I must come across that at least once a month, I'd say, with different people, at least. And the good news is if you go to peteeverett.com/group, you can join a Facebook group with Claire in it. And we can aid some discussions to help you.
Well, actually, I can give some great questions right now that you can use. If you've got a client where you suspect that they're hiding and that they've got visibility fears that might stop your work from really making the difference you want it to make, you can just in those discussions, yeah, it works best in a face-to-face or Skype meeting if you can rather than email, is just start asking them questions like, in your view, is there anything that might get in the way of this campaign being a success? And start allowing them to explore that. You know, is there anything on your side that I can support you on? How would you feel if you suddenly got a tenfold increase in website visits? How would you feel if you suddenly got 10 new customers tomorrow? Start asking them that kind of question and using your intuition to find what those blocks are, because you never know. It could actually be that they know their website will fall over if it gets 10 times the traffic. It could be that if, say, they're a restaurant, they know they can't handle more bookings because that system's broken. Yeah. It might be, if they're a solopreneur, that they're secretly terrified that you will get them the business they've just asked for. But you can start using your instincts, asking those questions and saying, well, okay, is there something else we need to do in addition to the marketing plan to make sure that you feel completely comfortable with the end result that we're aiming for?
This is where marketing becomes more than just the delivery of a service. This is where, you know, you've just demonstrated it there by adding in the emotive. How does this make you feel? Mm-hmm. How would you feel if the number of times, you know, we think of what we do and it's just a job, and it's we're just getting this website out the door, or we're just delivering this piece of content, or we're just doing this. Actually, I have an issue with the word just, because that is in itself limiting. And what we're doing is we're working with businesses to help them achieve their goals. Their goals must be tied to the goals of the owner or the management team or whoever it is that's responsible for it, that they must have a bigger, deeper, stronger thing that they're trying to achieve themselves. And 9 times out of 10, that's a personal thing. I want more time with my family. I want a holiday home in the south of France. I want this. I want that. But I know it sounds, it sounds daft and materialistic, but actually that's what really what people's passions boil down to. And By limiting the work that you do, you're not only limiting yourself, but you're actually limiting that of your client as well. And by engaging with your client on that deeper level, it really stands you out from the crowd as well. It stands you out that you're not just a supplier that's writing XYZ blog or doing XYZ SEO strategy that any other SEO agency could do. Mm-hmm. But actually, this is now a relationship that we're building. I understand you, you understand me, we understand there's a bigger picture, and we are all working together to achieve it.
It takes you from the realm of marketing professional to miracle worker. Yeah. If you can help them clear out their deeper fears, their imposter syndrome, if you make sure that they're not in that place where what they're aiming for is something they don't feel that they're ready for, you help them deal with that. Yeah. And you don't have to be a therapist. For most people, simply going, oh gosh, yes, you're right. Actually, I need to do some inside work. You know, they can go and find a coach. It's not your job to fix anything. Sometimes simply being aware that we're putting blocks in our own way is enough for them to disappear. You will get so much better results, and you'll have that deeper connection. And I know we don't like talking about feelings, particularly if, you know, it's a male-to-male contract that you're doing. But when you talk about how would you feel when this is a huge success, if what you get back is, oh, I'd just be on top of the world because, anchor them into that. Yeah, that feeling, right, what's the next step towards us having that feeling? And you'll get them taking action. If you've got a client that's really slow, say, on giving you copy for a website upgrade, it's because they're not lined up. They've got a block. Get them connected with how amazing it will feel to have the project done. And you'll find they get on board. They're much easier to work with. The two of you will bounce ideas off each other better, and you'll get better results.
You know, a former colleague of mine, actually, he rang me the other day. He's a web developer, and he's working for an agency, and he's thinking of going freelance. And to be honest, he's already handed his notice in once and then retracted it because he got scared. Yeah. So I won't name him, but he rang me the other day because he's started to get some people interested in giving him some work, and he was wanting to talk about his pricing and at what level he's sort of at a position where I was when I ran my first business. The reason I stopped running my first business was I'd made a complete balls up when it came to the pricing, and you know, was going to have to sort of triple my prices in order to advance the business. And what if you triple your prices and lose half your clients? You know, you're kind of standing still. So he's having these fears. I don't want to go in too low, but what if I go in too high and lose it and all this kind of thing? So we ran a few models through. So we first of all figured out how much he actually earns per hour at his job. And we figured that out. And then we put in like a base level freelance rate that, to be honest, anybody would pay without batting an eyelid. And at that rate, he could work four day weeks and still earn 1.5 times what he's on now. Should he work 52 weeks of the year? And we, of course, we had to factor some of that in. So we then settled on kind of a mid-range price. And at the end of it, he was just like, you know, I don't think I'm worth that kind of money. I can't see it. And I'm saying to him, Bob, his name's not Bob, Bob, you know what? It's not just about that. It's about the quality of life that you are giving yourself. And that is what you're fed up of doing the last week you worked 9 to 11 p.m. So 9 a.m. to 11 p.m. 3 days of the week and didn't get paid a penny extra because he's on salary. It's about getting rid of that. You're looking at the quality of life. You want to spend more time with your girlfriend. You want to go and travel. You want to do this. You want to do that. You want to do the other. And look, you can earn significantly more money and get yourself this freedom if you've got the confidence to go out and do it.
That is the thing. It's imposter syndrome hits us hard too. And the discounting is a classic example. If you're working with someone or if you're talking with someone about a pitch and the first thing they say when you talk about pricing is, oh, I can give you a discount. Yeah. Then you know they're not confident in their pricing. But it's what we do because we don't feel that we're worth earning that much. And I always get people to turn it around. It's not about an hourly rate. This work you're doing, how much is it going to grow your client's business? What difference is it going to make to their bottom line? Is it going to get them their holiday house in France that we've talked about? Mm-hmm. If yes, your rates need to reflect that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's a whole other discussion about pricing. And, you know, one of the reasons or one of the things that you get particularly in the agency line of work is a service. It is time for money. And breaking out of that model and working on a value-based model, it can be a really big change in mindset for people. Some clients get it as well, others don't. It's like, you know, it's that age-old thing about the engineer that comes onto the QE2.
He taps
it once with a hammer and then puts in a bill for £1,000 and the invoice says time on site £1. The next line item says knowing where to hit 999.
Well, this is where you can start that discussion with them, isn't it? It's then, you know, okay, if you guys do this in-house yourselves, it's going to take you this much longer. You'll probably get it wrong 4 times, or we can just do it here. The thing is, whatever the pricing model, you know, whether it's the industry standard one or whether you're deciding to go right when everybody else is going left, if you find yourself in that position, you can ask yourself that because question. Okay, I'm not worth this rate because. Start unpicking that. Okay, these excuses, these fears, these blocks, are they real? Who says? Yeah. Take out the ones that aren't real. Stop feeding those stories. Look at the next layer below. Okay, so this one does feel real and I'm prepared to defend it. Then comes my magic question. What do I want instead? Take that block. You know, I'm not worth that much because that's a terrible amount of money for somebody to charge. Great. Okay, what do I want instead? I want to earn an hourly rate that feels fair, that reflects my experience, that I feel confident pitching to a client. Great. Focus on finding that instead. You turn it around. You start to retrain your neurology to think different thoughts and support different beliefs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, the first few times you put that into practice, it feels really weird. it feels really odd. This morning, I supplied a quote to somebody that they've got a website. They want some modifications to it. They want the hosting changing and this, that, and the other. And they sent me this PDF with all of these changes that they want doing and asked me for a price. So I gave them a price and, you know, it was, I won't give the figures, but it was just into 4 figures. Anyway, within like 3 minutes, they'd responded, telling me that they had a quote for a third of that price, but they really did want to work with me and they wanted to build a lasting relationship with a developer or a development agency. And if I could match it, then they'd place the order today.
And then they would haggle with you next time too.
Yeah. So to which my response to them just simply said, you know, we're an agency. We've got a team to support. We're not going to compete with freelance rates. And my advice to you is if you've got that quote on the table, take it. Mm-hmm. They've not replied.
They won't. No,
they won't. But it felt, I mean, it's not something that you have to do every day. It still felt a little bit strange, but you know that you're doing the best thing for you. And you're doing the best thing. I'm not doing anybody any favors other than that client if I'm undervaluing not just the work I do, but the work of everybody in our team in our agency. So, okay, we do have pricing tiers and we do have rates that we, you know, offer on retained work and all that kind of stuff. But for somebody to come out of the blue and then want me to third my rates, it's just not going to happen.
And the fact is, they came back to you, which meant they weren't really happy with the other quote anyway.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. He's probably asking him if he can, you know, or that quote, if they can do it for 150 quid. So, yeah. You know, it's just a discussion. And actually, if you set those boundaries and you set those, you set that structure in place, you know what? The people that you end up working with, the last line I put in my email to him is, you know, I don't want to undervalue the work that we do, but I also don't want you to resent the bill that you're paying. Mm. And what you find by putting place like that, particularly when it comes to money, is that the clients that then work with you, they're working with you because they want to work with you. Mm-hmm. It's that they have that belief in you. They have that personal connection. We understand that we're working towards the same goal and all of that kind of stuff. And we don't charge astronomical rates. You know, we're not charging even London type prices, but we're charging what we think is fair for the work that we do. And it was funny that happened this morning, and then we're talking about this now.
It is, and it all comes down to this inner confidence. If you have done the inside work and you've cleared out the blocks that mean you might feel like a fraud or you're an imposter or who am I to be running this business, if you've cleared those out, then having calm discussions on things like pricing becomes much easier. You know, I find a classic thing for me, if I'm running a workshop, I've got a yurt. I live on a small holding. We've got 6 acres in Ashdown Forest. I've got a teaching yurt. And if I'm running a workshop there, I always close the doors on my workshops 3 days ahead so I can send people some pre-work to make the most mm-hmm. from the day. I always get a text from somebody an hour before it's due to start saying, do you still have a place? And I always go back saying, no, the doors closed 3 days ago. Then I get the next text saying, I've got 25 quid spare. Would that do? No, the course is £200. Yeah. So can I show up on the day, not having done the pre-work, and pay an eighth of what everybody else is paying?
Yeah. And for me, it's just not going to happen.
I have a bursary fund. 10% of all of my revenues go into a pot to give bursary places out based on a what you can afford basis. Mm-hmm. But those are always to people who've actually looked at what the deadline was, wanted to do the course enough that they wanted to book and contact me. Yeah. Mm. That would never be for somebody who just thinks, it's Saturday, it's quite sunny, I fancy a day at Claire's place. But having those boundaries is one of the toughest things about running your own business, having a boundary without feeling like a B word, yeah?
Yep, yep. No, that makes perfect sense. So actually, Claire, you're taking the conversation into something I was going to mention anyway, which is you do offer a number of different ways that people can work with you, don't you?
I do indeed. Yeah.
So do you just want to outline those a little bit for us?
Yeah. So the first thing to do is, you know, change your life and the world for less than the price of a pizza. Go and get Dare to Dream Bigger, frankly. It's a book that a lot of entrepreneurs tell me they keep on their desk. It's, I give you permission to scribble in it when you've bought it, not when you've got it from the library. You can scribble your notes. There's a fantastic readers club with loads of videos, discussion groups and things. But it takes you through what I call the 7 C's of business breakthroughs. So mm-hmm. it is the 7 key steps, either if somebody is setting up their business for the first time or if they are looking at redesigning their business, a big reboot. And it's not just waffle and it's not just what. It's actually got exercises in there that I would do if we were doing one-to-one mentoring together. Mm-hmm. It takes you through the how-to. And it, as I say, it's something you can do on the sofa in your pajamas. And you can change your life and the world because it does the inside work as well as the business strategy. So that would be the first thing.
Fantastic. We'll put a link to the book in the show notes so that people can click straight through.
Perfect. Perfect. I do one-to-one mentoring. People can come and find me over at my website, clairyosa.com. I only work with people who are actually hungry to make those changes. So if somebody's just window shopping, I'm not going to do a discovery session just to have a chat and make you feel okay about having taken some action, you know.
that sounds like the voice of experience, that does.
15 years of this. But more importantly, it's not fair on the person calling me because I'm giving them the illusion of having done something and feeling that little bit better. And I would much rather work with very few people, but they're all hungry to take action so that when I say, right, now we're going to do this, they get in there and do it. Mm. Yeah. If what somebody needs is a little bit of life coaching, there are life coaches out there. If what you actually need is just to be heard, there are counselors that can do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd much rather get in there and it's like pulling out that Jenga brick that makes the total difference, yeah, without the tower collapsing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you can find me on my website. I've actually got, if anybody's interested in the Dare to Dream Bigger Summit in September, I've got a fantastic offer for you guys where you can get a VIP upgrade place at the super early bird rate that normally only my email subscribers are getting. So that is going to be there for you at clareyosa.com/MDP.
Fantastic. I'll put a link to that in the show notes as well.
Definitely. And yeah, I run workshops. I run regular masterminds. I've got two masterminds coming up in the next year. One is on ditching imposter syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is get your book done. So this is for business owners who feel they've got a book in them that could grow their business, but they keep telling people, I'd love to write a book one day. And it's a 6-month program as a group where, you know, I've published 6 books. My 7th is coming out in July. We take you through what needs to be in the book, what to leave out, how to get that red thread, how to make it so it works when somebody is sitting on the sofa in their PJs with a cup of tea, rather than working with your face, you know, one-to-one. And we even do a full day deep dive, all of us together on site, where we get the book structures done.
Wow.
And then it's 6 months of group calls and training to walk you through every step of the writing and publishing process, including how to avoid the most common mistakes, how to build your platform as you're writing it, how to sell hundreds of copies before it's even published. So that one is launching probably in September, I think now. But that's another thing I love doing, is helping people get their message out there in a way that felt terrifying. But when you've done it, it's just exciting.
It certainly sounds like you've got a busy 2018 coming up.
Yeah.
Are you mad?
Yeah. Yeah. But I like it that way. When you've got focus, yeah, and when you know what's important to you, then actually it's easy to work out what to say yes to and what to say no to.
Yeah, yeah, I can fully relate to that. Absolutely relate to that. And Claire will, you know, feel free to, you know, mention those things in the group as well as dates and launches and all that kind of stuff gets finalized. Come and mention it to us, because this has been great. One other thing I did want to sort of ask, or an idea that's popped into my head while you've been talking, is maybe it might be cool to arrange kind of a marketing development sort of live chat kind of thing, if you're up for it, where we could have a little video chat and get some of the people on there that if they've got some questions, they could maybe sort of just connect with you a little bit more personally through that.
Definitely, that would be great fun.
Would you be up for that?
Very much so.
That'd be brilliant. So, thank you so much for your time. Do you want to just give a quick shout out to the ways people can get in touch with you other than through our group?
Yeah, the best way is clareyosa.com. You'll find everything you need there. And if you've got questions, there's a contact Claire form. Just get in touch. It's the easiest way. And I'd just like to thank you for listening. Yeah. And thank you for anything that you do to help yourself clear out your inner blocks, and anything you can do to help your clients get lined up with the difference you want to make for them. And I wish you every success.
Cheers. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for your time, Claire. We'll speak to you soon.
Thanks, Pete. Bye.
So there you have it. Once again, if you'd like to get those resources from Claire, the address is clareyosa.com/MDP for Marketing Development Podcast. And next week, we have one of our very good family friends, Sophie Jane Mortimer, who is a marketeer and a Facebook trainer. And she's going to be talking to us about planting a million trees, working with Tree Sisters, and also about where she's going currently with her Facebook training. It really is a great interview, so I look forward to seeing you next week.